Future Proof Extra from News Talk.
Now, it's lunchtime, so I imagine a lot of you out there might be feeling a bit peckish around now. You know you're hungry, but what do you have an appetite for? We might think that flavour is the deciding factor with these choices, but as it turns out, it's a little bit more complex than that. So what exactly is going on inside us that helps us decide what we need to eat and how much of it? Callie Johnson is a graduate student of anthropology at City University of New York. She joins me now. Welcome to the programme. This whole story started with a chance meeting with a baboon.
Yeah, I guess so. I performed a study back in 2010 following a single female baboon in Cape Town, South Africa for 30 days. And we recorded everything that she ate over those 30 days. And we found some unexpected results in that this baboon really tightly regulated her nutrient intake. We were not sure how primates, including humans, regulated their diet based on the foods available to them in their habitat. And we were really surprised with what this baboon did, and that she had a really close balance of protein to fats and carbohydrates, despite having different foods available to her.
When you say regulated, do you mean consciously chose what to eat?
Yeah, so this is amazing. Likely not, We're not entirely sure what is the physiology that underlies these feeding choices, and it's likely not a conscious choice, but we know that, other organisms besides primates somehow are, really strictly, choosing what foods they eat based on the nutritional content of those foods.
That doesn't sound surprising, but it really is, right? I mean, you would imagine that animals that aren't making conscious decisions about food eat whatever is in front of them. But can you give an example of what you saw that was surprising with this baboon's intake of food, and why you weren't expecting it?
Yeah, so essentially she ate a really diverse range of things, from, basically blades of grass to Cheetos and pudding cups to mushrooms and, fruit from, orchards. And then when we looked at the nutrient content that she had consumed each day and we plotted it on a graph, she had a very, very tight balance of about 4 kilocalories of fat and carbohydrates to 1 kilocalorie of protein, despite, this really wide range of foods that she was eating.
And of course, there is a biological advantage to regulating that. You've got homeostasis, the level of balance of these important nutrients and ingredients that keep us healthy.
Yeah, so maybe a better study to indicate, the advantage of having a specific nutrient balance was a study from fruit flies. Essentially, they offered these fruit flies 3 different diets that varied in fats, carbs, and protein. One of the diets allowed the fruit flies to live a long life. Another diet allowed the fruit flies to have a fast rate of children, although not, an overall greater number of children. And the third diet allowed them to have a large number of kids in their lifetime. And then they offered these fruit flies the choice of those 3 diets. And it was amazing because the one that they picked is the one that allows them to have the greatest number of kids in their lifetime. And that's, the definition of fitness, from, Darwin and natural selection, you want to have more kids than everybody else. So it's amazing because organisms from, single-celled slime molds up into, humans and primates are choosing their diets, and those diets very much, are likely have an adaptive advantage.
Everybody knows the 5 food groups are burgers, pizza, ice cream, crisps, and chocolate.
Yeah.
But when we talk about 5 appetites, what are they? What are the things that we need to balance in our intake?
Yeah, so humans, what is being regulated in our physiology, or what our physiology is looking for, is fats, carbohydrates, proteins, and then 2 micronutrients, which are sodium and calcium. And actually, you mentioning this idea that, the fact that we look for foods that tend to be high in energy from carbs and fats, The way that we think these five appetites evolved is, you know, from our origins, our human ancestors' origins in the savannah, where those foods that were high in carbohydrates and fats, there weren't a lot of hamburgers and, you know, French fries. And so when we encountered a food like that, it would have been really adapted for us to consume it, you know, pack on the calories while that food was available, because we didn't know the next time we would encounter a food that was high in energy like that.
Okay, so does that evolutionary skill of picking out the things that we need to maintain not just personal health, which is really interesting, but actually genealogical health, like the health of your lineage in a way. Is that something that has probably been lost now that we move into the era of fast food and not really knowing what we're eating? Or do we still subconsciously choose fats that give us the things that we are lacking? Or is there anything to support that?
Yeah, so probably we still have the same, you know, drives to consume a balance of these five items. Again, carbs, fats, proteins, sodium, and calcium. You know, if we look at wild primates, they have non-existent rates of, you know, what we would say are cardiometabolic diseases. So like things like, you know, diabetes, obesity. And so the difference between us and our wild ancestors, or us and wild primates, is that the environment that, you know, humans and industrialized societies are living in are abundant, very abundant in, you know, high energy foods, foods that are, you know, high in, you know, processed sugars and fats. And so we can't necessarily make healthy choices if we're living in an environment where those foods are so abundant. And so this is something that's been called, basically, we live in our main drive for eating is protein, is, you know, what's been shown in terms of these five appetites. So we live in a protein dilute environment. And because of that, we will overconsume these other nutrients in order to meet our protein needs.
Are you saying that we eat too much of foods that are high in fat, but the point of doing that is to get the protein? Why don't we just eat protein rich foods?
Well, we could eat protein-rich foods if those were more available to us. But it's been shown that, you know, in industrialized societies over time, over the last 50 years, for example, high protein foods are, you know, becoming less available, or those foods that are available to us are diluted in carbs and fats. And, you know, it may be because these industrial food companies know that humans eat more food, you know, will consume more when those foods are dilute in protein.
So anyway, the idea is not that they're looking for the proteins and carbs. They're actually looking for the protein, but because the foods they're eating are so low, they eat. I mean, it seems to me you're sort of negating the whole, these foods are delicious.
Absolutely. So what's that? And they're delicious to us because of that evolutionary history on the savannah, where high energy foods that are very high in, you know, carbohydrates and fats would have been limited. You know, the foods available to our human ancestors and wild primates are, you know, high in fiber. There's not, you know, very necessarily high fat and sugary foods. And especially on the savannah, those foods are very rare. So we have, you know, probably more abundance of protein in our diet historically on the savannah. We're limited by fats and carbs. And so with more exposure to protein, that's probably why we use protein to regulate our diet. And with less exposure to fats and carbs, you know, in this, you know, evolutionary history, we will exploit them when they're available to us. And so we have this mismatch between our current environment, which is really abundant in fats and carbs, low in protein, right? And so humans tend to overshoot, you know, their nutrient intake, you know, overconsume calories in that type of environment, because it's very different.
Yeah. But if protein is so beneficial to us, why does protein not taste like chocolate milkshake?
That's a really good question. So, I mean, all the macronutrients are important to us. We need all, you know, three of our macronutrients to, you know, be healthy. And it's again, because so from this history of living in a protein abundant environment, you know, you can get protein basically more regularly on a daily basis from plant and animal sources. What would have been rare would be chocolate milk, would be sugar, would be fat. And so that stuff tastes really good to us, because if you come across something like that, you want to pack it on and eat it. You don't know when the next time you're going to encounter something like that is.
You're listening to Future Proof on News Talk. I'm Jonathan McRae. We are speaking with Callie Johnson. She's from City University of New York, and we're talking about the drive to eat the right amount of foods to keep us healthy, and how this happens subconsciously in a study that Callie ran looking at the intake of a baboon. But Callie, what about the humans here? Have we monitored the nutrient intake of humans? Do they do the same thing?
Yeah, there's several studies that have been done in humans recently. One more interesting study is they took a group of people and they got to stay in a chalet in the Swiss Alps over the course of several days. And as part of this experiment, so they isolated these people so that they would only eat foods that were, you know, given to them through the study. They designed a basically breakfast, lunch, and dinner buffet for the participants of the study that varied in the amounts of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins in the foods. And they divided the people into two groups, you know, where the people or one group of people would have foods that were protein abundant or had more protein in the foods. There was the second group of people that had basically foods available to them that were higher in carbohydrates and fat. And the people that ate the protein kind of diluted experimental condition ended up eating more calories overall than the people who had more protein abundant in those foods. So basically, once they had reached kind of their protein appetite or protein target, they felt more sated. And so this is one of these experiments that, that shows that the way that humans are designed to regulate our diet or feel full is when we've reached a protein target of some sort. And again, if your foods are diluted in a protein, you will eat more calories in order to reach that protein target.
This doesn't really explain why just 20 minutes ago, I ate half a bag, a family bag of crisps, you would call them potato chips, I think. There's no protein in that, or is there? Why do I do that?
This is amazing. Yeah. So actually, things like crisps or, you know, French fries, they have basically low to almost no protein in that food. And so, for example, something like McDonald's French fries is almost designed so that you will eat that food infinitely in order to try and reach your protein target, but you'll never be able to get there.
So that would explain a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's about, I believe it's about 5% is the rule. Anything below 5% protein, you will consume like almost infinitely in order to reach this protein appetite that you have.
Absolutely fascinating. Callie Johnson from City University of New York, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.